Fire safety in the home, it's something that we all think we've got covered until we don't. Julie Pring, coordinator of Caboolture Support Group for Parkinson's Queensland, joins us to break down home fire safety in a way that's simple, practical, and could make all the difference. Thanks for joining us, Julie.
Thanks, Rosemary.
Now, Julie, you often tell us who you have speaking at the monthly meetings. Can you share with us something that we haven't heard about recently?
Yes, thanks, Rosemary. We have speakers at around 7 of our 10 meetings each year. The focus may be specifically on Parkinson's and what our members might do to assist in managing their symptoms, or about some new area of treatment or research in Parkinson's. But we also are interested in hearing about topics that are relevant to all of us. With nearly half of those attending our support meetings not having but supporting someone with Parkinson's, it's appropriate to hear about other things applicable to us all.
And well, what's coming up, or what did come up recently, Lum?
So last month, in August, we had a speaker from Queensland Fire and Rescue addressing the topic of home fire safety.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's something that we all need to know about and be aware of. What were some of the issues that he raised, Jules?
There were four areas covered: the need for every home to have an escape plan and for everyone living or staying in the home to know what they need to do in the event of a fire, the legislation requiring interconnected fire alarms, or smoke alarms, I should probably call them.
Yes.
Or they're called. And safe practices within a home, and finally, information on lithium batteries.
Yeah, that's a big one. Julie, let's take each one individually. What's needed in an escape plan?
Each dwelling should have two exits for any emergency. The plan needs to be discussed with everyone aware of what they need to do. We all need to be prepared to have a meeting place and to practice so that we're more prepared. Mm-hmm. In case the emergency is at night, practices in the dark are also good. So obviously, is there a fire? Someone needs to dial 000, and the escape plan diagram or the escape plan needs to be followed, and diagrams are available from the fire service.
Oh, good one. Are there any special considerations?
So lots of us have security doors, and it's important that a key is close by with everyone knowing where it is in case it needs to be used quickly. We could consider quick release locks. The first thing asked when the fire engine arrives is everyone out? Mm-hmm. So somebody with mobility issues, so someone with Parkinson's, should be considered in the plan. It's very important that once outside, no one goes back in for anything. It might be hard, but don't go back look for a pet. Mm. The first priority that the fireys have is rescue if there's still someone inside, and then they will locate the fire and work on extinguishing it.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard one, Jules, isn't it? But now you mentioned legislation regarding the smoke alarms. You know, now we've talked about it for quite a while now. Tell us a bit more about it.
Yes, it's coming up at the start of next year. So the 1st of January 2027, every dwelling requires interconnected photoelectric smoke alarms in every bedroom and every room, including even a garage where someone sleeps, and in interconnecting hallways. These alarms have 10-year batteries. They're connected via Bluetooth and need to be installed by a licensed electrician. The suggestion was that we not wait until the last minute, mm-hmm. as this is likely to make the exercise more expensive because of demand to have the alarms installed by the deadline.
Absolutely. And to say little about, is the electrician going to be working overtime 24/7? No. So, yes, get that done now. What are some of the safe practices that the fireys are suggesting?
We're all welcome to book a safe home visit from a firefighter to help us recognise fire safety hazards in and around our home. In the meantime, we can take notice that Candles must always be on a hard surface in a proper holder and never left unattended. Don't leave anything that is cooking unattended. Don't stop looking while you're cooking, Fiery say. Mm. So a memory jogger may be to place a tea towel over one shoulder so that you don't let something like TV distract you. And if there is a fire while you're cooking, turn the stove off. Always clean the lint filter after using a clothes dryer. It's also good practice to use the cooling part of the cycle to reduce the risk of fire. Check gas appliances regularly. Don't leave appliances on when not at home. Always place a screen in front of an open fire. Don't overload power points. Throw away any electrical cords that are damaged or frayed by, first of all, cutting the plug off with shears. Regularly check all appliances. And best practice, when not in use, turn appliances off at the wall. So equipment that we should have: a fire blanket near the stove and a small fire extinguisher in an easily accessible place, although most of these are not suitable for fires when you're cooking. Mm. So we were given demonstrations of how to use these.
Jules, everything you're saying there is just common sense, but sometimes common sense doesn't prevail, does it? So we need to hear this, and thank you, yeah, for drawing that back to our attention.
Amazing. Yeah, we can definitely get slack, can't we?
We do so. And Jules, the last area that you mentioned was the lithium batteries. Now, I imagine that this area is where the fires are quite concerned.
Yes, because there have been so many fires related to these. So these batteries are everywhere. Many homes have around 20. It's startling, isn't it? They're even in electric toothbrushes. Mm. And many of these are rechargeable, although the batteries in smoke alarms are not rechargeable. So the main points were to make sure we are using the appropriate battery for the device. The right plug doesn't necessarily mean it's the right charger. And then if we're using these, to watch for heat, the smell, noises, vapor, which would most likely will lead to smoke, and never charge a device in the path of an emergency exit. Dispose of batteries correctly, not in a wheelie bin. Take smaller ones to stores that have containers for old batteries, and larger ones can be taken to local waste facilities. They have hazardous waste areas. Mm. And tape over the terminals before you drop them off. And the hazard waste area at the local facilities is also where you can take old fire extinguishers. So if there's a battery fire, don't touch the battery or device. Try not to breathe in the fumes and go outside and call 000. So in case of a fire, the smoke will rise. So to avoid smoke as much as possible, another saying that the fireys have is get down low and go, go, go. Okay. I think they use it particularly with the children in school.
Yeah.
And just a couple of comments that he made along the lines of reducing the impact if there are burns, that they need cool water to help them. But obviously, you know, you'd be making sure there was a paramedic to help out there too.
Yeah. Jules, that's some fabulous information, and we thank you very much. But listen, we better get back to talking about what's happening at the local scene for Parkinson's and what is Kapulchid Parkinson's Support Group doing this month.
Yes, so our meetings are on the third Thursday of each month. Well, the main months of the year, as mm-hmm. I said, 10 times a year.
Yeah.
And they are from 11:30 to 1:30. So that's next week, the 17th of September. And all our meetings are at Morayfield Community Uniting Church, which is 12 to 14 Weir Road, Morayfield. This month we have Wellways Carer Gateway. We're still finalising the details of what's going to happen with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so apart from our monthly meetings, we also continue to catch up informally at Lisa's Willow Tree Cafe from 10 o'clock on the second Thursday. So that's this week on the 10th. anyone interested in or with Parkinson's or atypical Parkinson's or a care partner is welcome to join us on either of the Thursdays.
Fabulous. And Julie, how could any one of our listeners find out more about Parkinson's?
Radio 101.5 FM has our details, so you can contact the station or you can go directly to Parkinson's Queensland or to myself. So you have all these details. And if you're wanting, perhaps rather than a phone number, check out Parkinson's Queensland website, www.parkinsonsqld.org.au. This has details of all support groups like ours in all of Queensland.
Great. And Jules, you often give us a little quote or two. Have you got something for us today?
So a couple that I've already used from the fire and rescues mm-hmm. is don't stop looking when you're cooking mm-hmm. and get down low and go, go, go. But also I thought particularly for people with Parkinson's, a quote from Benjamin Franklin, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail.
Well said. Julie, thank you so much for giving us that little heads up there on what we should be doing in this season particularly. But we've heard about the new smoke alarms, the lithium battery hazards, and the two exit rule for every house that you need. Julie Pring, coordinator of the Caboolture Support Group for Parkinson's Queensland, thanks for joining us today, Julie, and thank you so much for the safety tips. And if you have Parkinson's or if a carer of somebody with it, listen to more ideas and tips on living with Parkinson's from Julie right here on 101.5fm.com.au.